I'm really glad that you were able to get here this morning. As I was driving to church, I started humming a song that I know that with new words. Hello, winter, my old friend. Oh, I see most of you aren't happy to see this old friend, but winter has returned, and I'm really glad you got in your individual arcs and sailed here today. Thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce John Christian to you this morning. For those of you who don't know, my name is Alex Van Riesen. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and John is a friend and a partner in ministry. He heads a ministry called Acts of Mercy and lives in India with his lovely family and is here in the States for a couple weeks. And we were fortunate enough to actually get him so he could speak to us this morning. If you want to find out more about John's ministry, you can go to actsofmercy.org and see more about it. But he's a longtime partner with us, and we've actually had families and members of the church go to visit the ministry in Chennai and other parts of India, and we'll be doing so again. So it's really my honor and our pleasure to have him. So would you join me in praying for him as he teaches the word this morning? Lord Jesus, I thank you for John. I thank you for his life. I thank you for everything that you have done for him and through him to bring him to this point. I pray you'd encourage his heart this morning. Whatever is on his mind and his heart, that you would let him know, that you take that and that you care, that you would free him and his heart to preach the word with confidence and boldness in you this morning. Thank you for him. We are so glad to have him, grateful for the partnership that you've given us and the chance that it is for us to bless one another. We welcome you here, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. This is almost like a home for me. I was here about 7 months back, and I just wanted to thank you for the partnership we have with Alex and the staff and the whole church. I'm in the really opposite part of the world. Okay, just exile you on the other side of the world. It is there. It is about 10:30 in the night of Sunday night. So Sunday church is over. So that's where we live. So, but we have a great partnership, and I want to thank you for that. Thank you for praying. I'm also planning. Going to share from Mark chapter 12, which is one of the toughest passage you give it to any pastor. Okay? So I'm going to do my best to share and to study together and share my heart about what God is doing around the world. So go to Mark chapter 12, verse 1 onwards. Then Jesus was began teaching them with stories, means parables. A man planted a vineyard, he built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to tenant farmers and moved to another country. At the time the grape harvest, he sent one of his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed the servant, beat him up, and sent him back empty-handed. The owner then sent another servant, but they insulted him, beat him over the head. The next servant he sent was killed. Others he sent either beaten or killed, until there was only one left, the son whom he loved dearly. The owner finally sent him, thinking, surely they will respect my son. Verse 7. When the tenant farmers said to one another, here comes the heir of this estate. Let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves. So they grabbed him, murdered him, and threw his body out of the vineyard. What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do? Jesus said, I will tell you. He will come and kill those farmers and lease the vineyard to the others. Did you ever read this in the scripture? The stone that the builders rejected was now become the cornerstone. This is Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. The religious leaders wanted to arrest Jesus because they realized that he was telling the story against them. They were the wicked farmers, but they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. Okay, this passage is it's a prophetic passage. Okay, Jesus was prophesying about himself. Okay, so there is, you know, the whole story is open, clear, and I don't think there is a great explanation. Is there? Jesus looked at it and he knows that this is the story of him coming to this world, and this is the destiny of him. Okay, he's going to be rejected. So that's what I really was longing. It is kind of Jesus was talking about the prophecy of the kingdom inheritance. Okay, I want to work on that. Okay, well, because when you look at Jesus, know that, you know, Jesus looked at them and said, you're going to be rejected. Right? It's a story of us, maybe the same way when you take it paraphrased to our time. Okay? God created us in the garden with a great purpose to walk with him, talk with him, to have a real relationship, daddy-son relationship, and it's lost. Okay? And then we look back, you know, when you look at today, we are, you know, there is Jesus coming and looking into a possibility of taking us from this old master and looking at our lives and say there is a great life. It's a prophecy, he's saying. So if you take it, this was a prophecy, it is a prophecy of inheritance, kingdom inheritance. We all have an inheritance. And then he summarized in that one, the stone that builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. So it's so important. Jesus understood the calling in his life. He understood. Look at him, all these things. He said, this is going to be my toughest thing I'm going to face. But you're not going to accept me. But he said, there is a great eternal purpose. So prophetic understanding of the calling of God in our lives, how we take it, how we understand what's God's calling in our life, where we are at, like the same farmers, right? God came, Jesus have, you know, God created us, where we are at. So one of the things I look at and say that he has chosen each one of us with a purpose. He picked us up. You know that? We always think we came to know God and we accepted him. He loved us. He paid the price. He got hold of the collar and said, come. And I think that's what happened. One of the things is I was thinking, my own life, I remember as a college student, and a university student, went to the InterVarsity. I never knew it was InterVarsity. It's okay. I went for it, but that day God caught me. And I think that was one of the biggest things happened in my life, of putting my hand to Jesus and said, yes, Jesus. Okay. That has changed my life. So one of the things is, it's important for us to know. And you know, I remember the song I sing, I will follow him ever. Not turning back. The world may reject me. No, I'm going to go after him. So that is one of the things of understanding God's calling. So my prayer for all of us is here is that we understand God's call in our life. Can you say that the same thing? I think this prophecy is for all of us. Really, when you look at it, the prophecy is all of us. All those who are rejected, he wanted to make them as the cornerstone. And many of us don't believe. So second one is living in the understanding of the prophetic inheritance. We have an inheritance. I want to tell a story about, about the Lion King. Ne? Look at them and the movie and saying, you are Simba. You know the story, right? Yeah. So I want to tell a story about one of our widows. I'll work with the ladies who have lost their husband when they're young, maybe 22, 23. They usually get married at the age of 18. And when they have about three kids, they will be about 20, 23. And then the husband commits suicide or kill himself on different. So that's how we get them. And that's we get introduced to them. And they usually they earn about $1.25 a day. So about $30 a month. I don't know. None of you can even buy grocery for $30, right? Okay. So that's their lifestyle that we'll come to know. And then what happens is in their whole life, they work with us and they may earn $100 in their life. That's the maximum of a week, of a month. Okay. But when you look at them, what happens is they are completely on this process of coming and, you know, being as a widow. What happened? Their life is completely changed. they become a radically different person. I was talking about last week, I have a man we wanted to do operation for his eyes. He couldn't see. He didn't know his eyes. Usually we have 6x6. Six, the power of a human being is 6x6. He have like 1x6. So we went to the operation theater, and you cannot tell him you're going to operate him. Can you believe? In America, you'll go to jail, right? We went to the doctor and said, doctor said, we're talking in the language saying that we're going to operate him at 12:30 because he needs to get him the eyesight. But we can never talk because he will not allow to operate because he had a cataract. Okay. And his daughter on the other side is a physiotherapist who understands English, understands the whole world. And we were looking at them, see how radically this person's life is changed. I think that is the whole history of all of us. Okay? We don't run sometimes. When you come from a third world country or come from other part of the world, you know that how God has picked you from somewhere and brought you here. Okay? And you know what a place God has given to you. So we really understanding is we have a great inheritance in Him. Huge inheritance. And we have to live on that. That's what. So many of us, you know, I usually come when I come to the States. I was there on the first day and we were talking to a lady and she was explaining her past. She's talked about her family, has said her father she met one time, came home, you know, when they're very young, she got, you know, when she was 12, the father left her. And then she was about 27, she met him for 1 week. Then in a week after, he passed away. He talked about the brothers, sisters. They were all in drug, addiction, killed each other. You know, talked about families. And that's what we all are. Some of us come from them. But one of the radical thing is, he can change you completely. Okay? He can change. He can take a person like that, and he can say that you're going to be the cornerstone of the kingdom. Now, do you believe in that? Do you really believe? I really, when I look at my background, when I look at the people whom I work with, they can never believe they're going to be the corner. What does cornerstone mean? It means that it's the important stone on the foundation of a building. And God can do that one with all our lives when we give our life to Him. And so if we live on that understanding, we live saying that understanding of the inheritance. So if you see, I hope none of us will say I'm an ADD background. Okay, my parents were alcoholic. That was the past history. Our new history in Christ is that we are people who are changed by the kingdom and going to inherit a huge thing in this world. So my prayer for all of us that we will continue to pursue knowing that we have a prophetic inheritance. So all of you here, please don't ever say that this was my background and you don't live there. It's nice to say, nice to work on it, nice to move on. Okay? And that make you happy. Because you know what happened? It bubbles me. The kingdom bubbles me. My life is not going to end here. You know, when I look at, you know, when we work with some of the people who are so, so poor. But when you come to the life is changed, they really understand their life is not end here. It's only the beginning. And we have a long eternity. So I might want to say that each one of you lives here. You guys have the best in the world, guys. The freedom, the liberty, you know, everything, education. But you live on because, and you think about what God has given. So we have to move forward knowing that because of the, that's what Jesus did. You have a problem, there are issues. He's saying that, my God has a plan for me that I'm going to be the cornerstone. He is the Son of God who's going to be the cornerstone of the kingdom. The same way, we each one of us, He picked us up to be the cornerstone. Next one I want to go is living in the present reality of the kingdom. The corner, it's going to be a process. It's a huge process. We are all in the big process. You know? And you know, it was, you know, Jesus, you know, look at Mary was talking to at the time, you remember when the wine was, the water was converted into wine. Mary was telling, if they ask anything, please do it. Okay? Just do it. And I think we need to, if you know that we are going to inherit this kingdom, we know that we are the kids of that, we just be ready to say, just do it all the time. like Nike, right? Just do it. We need to say that, you know. So, you know, that's the huge thing. We live in the reality of the kingdom. We know that we are going to inherit this kingdom. We're going to live there. We're going to be there forever. You know, we work with my wife, Carla. She's amazing. We have some of you have worked with her, came to the school. We have a school we work with about 139 kids. Among the 130, about 39 kids are from Islam background. Okay? We don't know how they came. It's not an Islamic area, but people come from different places to come to a school. But one of the things we know that these kids are going to inherit the kingdom of God. Can you believe? When we pray, what do? We know our prayer is that they will walk. They will say that, you know what happened? My daddy have an inheritance. I'm going to inherit the kingdom. And you know, they're not it, but we know they will. And that makes us work. Why we spend money in missions? Why we go into missions? Because we know some of our friends who will one day inherit the kingdom. So that is the thing which pushes us. Okay? That's what I always say, smile, it's a wonderful life. Right? Because we don't smile usually, right? We really need to smile every day. Say that it's a wonderful inheritance, what I'm going to get in. And so if you live in that, you know what happened? It pushed forward. We work with widows. Sometimes we say, it's very hard. We're trying to build 32 homes for these girls for so much time, you know, we need money to raise, and you know, we're going to have a facility. But one of our biggest hope, we know that many of these girls one day will reach home. And they will say, you know what happened? My God, in creation, pick me up. And you know what happened? I'm going to be inheriting the kingdom. So this is a huge thing. So we need to understand the prophecy, what Jesus himself is talking about. And we need to live in this prophecy. And that's a challenge. And then living in the hope of the future kingdom. That's a huge thing. How will you live every day, walk up every day and say, I want to live in that and that kingdom experience. I want to tell a story because you are all waiting for Super Bowl, right? Yeah? Because, you know, and I want to tell a story. I had a friend who was a watchman. You know, we went from here, we had a watchman, and you know, watchmen are less paid people, always sleepy, and if you go to India, you know, everywhere you park the car in front of the house and get it down, they'll say, no, just 1 inch after. So you get into the car, parked 1 inch, they say, no, left 5 inches. So you get angry to any watchman in India. So if you come, you know, I get angry every day, you know. Because you go park, you know, say, you're just already, and he'll look at you, he'll say, yes, come, park here. And then he finishes, he said, no, a little more. You stop the car almost out, you know, so you're running for an appointment. No, you'll leap here. And so this guy, his name was Joseph, okay? And he was, one day when he was, you know, when he was coming back to, you know, he was a Christian, I know, who loved the Lord. And, you know, basically, look at his two teeth are not there all the time. And in a funny looking guy. And so one day, you know, what happens was he was playing, bulbul. You heard of bulbul? It looked like a typewriter. It's a string instrument. So it has A, B, C, D kind of words on it. And, you know, so he usually play only G plus chord. Those who are the musicians, you know that, you know, I don't know that chord is only five, figure it out by me. It's a G chord he play. And so he was singing the song, whatever friend we have in Jesus. It was never close to the tune and the right thing. Understand? But he was enjoying the whole thing. Okay? And so what happens is, I had a dream of him going to heaven. So I'm going to explain. So heaven is like a Super Bowl stadium. Think about it. Okay? And then there is AT&T stand will be there. You know, $500 guys, most of you will be there on that stand. Okay, then there's Pepsi 400, yeah? Coke maybe 300, Google maybe just after that, I'm putting the not amount there. And then so there's all of them, and then there's $10 stand for 7-Eleven. Okay, and this, you know, and a lot of the people in the 500s were, you know, like, you know, it's like, you know, the first row was Jesus and David, his wife, and, you know, his guitars, wives and guitars and all that, I'm not going there, and you know. And then Peter, John, all these guys on the first row. Second groups you can see guys of, you know, looking at, there's Billy Graham, David Livingston, Hudson Taylor representing China, William Gary representing India. All these guys, even your pastor was there. Huh? Alexander family, you know. I looked at it, Jasmine was there. I don't know, Rajesh, I didn't miss him. I was looking, you know. So Jasmine should be there, of course. You know? So all of these guys were there. Okay? And so then, you know, Jesus coming up. I think it's a really good story. I just want to get this story. Jesus coming up. And, you know, all the guys, you know, looking at, you know, Jesus is going to come and, you know, say Peter. And, you know, he said, welcome home. So first word, welcome home. And he said, let's start this inaugural function with a song from, you know, I should be from Andy Park or, you know, some of the great guys of the vineyard, you know. He said, let it from, it goes to Joseph from the 7-Eleven stand. Okay? And Joseph walking. Okay? Joseph walking. And, you know, it taking a long time to come from the last stand, you know, walk out, you know, and all these big guys are there. And I was offended because I thought he'll call Andy. Okay? I thought he will call some other person, maybe William Carey or some guys. I don't know if they play guitar or not. Understand? But he called Joseph. Joseph coming, teeth is still missing, and his bulbul is there. And he'll sing the inaugural song. Guys, that is the kingdom. Okay? Many of us will feel we are not fit for inherit the kingdom. But you know what happened? When you reach home, we will say, it's the prophecy, you become the cornerstone. Understand? So think about each one of you that be Joseph. Maybe you literally got a 7-Eleven seat, but when you reach there, you have the inheritance. So that's what Jesus was telling about this one. You who have felt like you don't be good, don't be so nice, don't be so elegant, but he wanted to give the kingdom. So what is God's calling in our life? To be the prophets, prophetess, to prophesy over people, saying that, you know what happened? God wanted you to be the cornerstone of the kingdom. So I want to challenge all of you. I want my prayer for all of you that you will not see a monotonous life in the Silicon Valley. You always be thankful to God for all what his God has given, because it is not me who promised the inheritance. It's not Alex who promised it. Church don't promise. It is your daddy who is promising, saying that I want to change your status to be the cornerstone. So how can we live in that way? So what? Knowing that, we start walking on that. We're stepping on that. And I think that's what God's calling on each one of us, that we will know that we have an inheritance. So guys, my prayer for all of you, that you will say that, you know, you will sign up and say, you know what happened? I wanted to be not only just inherit the kingdom, I wanted to be involved in moving people one place to the another. That's what we do. That's what Alex do. That's what I do in India. Moving people from one place to the another. And God wanted a huge community of people to do that. To prophesy those people, saying that, you know what happened? You know, look at guys, I look at myself, you know, how God has changed me. When I look at my life as a young boy, I never thought this is my journey. Understand? Many of you, I don't know how many of you thought that you will see college. Okay? But it is God's mercy. Not only that, God's mercy is saying that, guys, not only what you have it here, it is there. So we have a huge job of, what is the job? Of helping others to be partakers of this kingdom. And how we do it? We do threat pushing people a little bit, nudging people a little bit every time, so that my sister, my brother, my friends, who will be the cornerstone, who will be an important part. And I want to share, if you feel that you are not there, if you feel, I felt many times, I felt because of the, you know, I had got a good things I did in my life, there are some time I didn't do bad things. And the bad things always stands ahead of me. And I never thought God will use me. I want to say that if you give your life to him, if you are not ever committed your life to Jesus, would you give it to him and say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. He will change you. And he's going to prophesy. We want to prophesy over you the same way. Understand? The stone that is rejected will become the cornerstone. Would you do that? That's what Jesus was talking about. Prophecy about himself. Okay. And then those who are already know the inheritance, understand the inheritance. Would you say that, Lord, I want to recommit my life for the cause of the kingdom? Cause of the expansion of the kingdom. I want to invite all of you to come to India sometime. All of you. Never lose. And I hope that you will stand in line. You will fight with your pastor and push the pastor in the line and be the friend one to get into the plane to come. And you be the friend one to push to go to the jail work here in the Silicon Valley. It's not only just going to India, in your own hometown. You will stand in line making the soup because we know that this promise is going to be applicable for my friend who's still in the jail, who committed 2 murders. And we may do 1 more. But if you wanted to go so that they will inherit the kingdom. So if we live in that reality, you know what happened? It pushes. So then nothing will stop us. And that's pushed me. Sometimes I think, what, I'm wasting time. You know, I would have made money in the Silicon Valley, lived in the Silicon Valley. I don't have to be lived in the polluted world. No, nice fresh air, right? Go to India for 30 minutes, you say, wow, this is thick. Understand? And then you see the lungs are fully covered with stuff, you know. Sometimes you spit, you can see, wow, there's so much of dust, you know. It must have gone all over your system. But what pushed you? It is because we are in the process of moving people for a bigger purpose of inherit the kingdom. And so if you feel that you are like Joseph, it's the bad singer, you won't be in the first place in the heaven. Jesus wanted to tell you that he wanted you to be the first person there. He's going to call you. I'm so amazed. I won't sing. You know, I run a music company. I don't sing 1 chord. If I sing, everybody will run out. But when I always tell them, guys, when I reach heaven, I'm going to sing there. Understand? The hope of tomorrow. The hope of the kingdom. So we push forward. And I feel any one of you feel that you're an unimportant person in here. Jesus wanted to tell you, you are so important. And if you feel that you cannot be used, you tell him, Jesus, I have talents, but I have all this weakness. I'm not fit to be a pastor. I'm not fit for anything, even for a Sunday school teacher, not even in a prayer ministry team. He wanted to tell you that if you tell that prayer with him today, if you pray that same silly prayer, I did that one as an young boy. I said, Lord, if you use me, I was an interview system, if you use me, I'll be available. And I'm ashamed about myself, the way God uses to be his hands and his feet of the kingdom expansion. I'm ashamed. And I want to say that if you give your life to him, recommit to him and say, Lord, use me as an instrument of peace, as an instrument of this prophetic ministry of expanding the kingdom, he will use you. And my prayer for each one of you, that you will live in the hope of that. Hope knowing that I'm going to be maybe the Joseph in the 7-11 state. But when my daddy comes, he calls me. And it'll be shocking for my brothers and sisters and my friends in the vineyard to see I'm the one who's going to sing the inaugural song for the Super Bowl. And that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Would you accept it? Would you say that prayer with me and say that, yes, Jesus, I will take part. Even though I'm ashamed, I don't want to be, you know, I'm timid. But if you do it like Joseph, maybe the 2 teeth will be missing. The noise will be coming out not the right way. But I'm willing to be there. And that's the kingdom. So live in. That's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus looked at himself. And he looked at the guys who are teachers. And he said, one day there is going to be my dad is going to come. And he was going to administer the beginning of the kingdom. And then the cornerstone. And then it's the Bible clearly, it's funny, it's written like that. It is written, the stone that his builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is Lord's doing. It is wonderful to see. Know what happened? If Jesus look at us, and we look at us and say, you know what happened? Like some of you are like Joseph. He said, it's wonderful to see that Joseph is the inaugural guy to sing the first song or the national anthem of the heaven. Can you believe Joseph is used to by not Billy Graham, not any one of them? So look at that way and proceed. And may God bless you. And my real prayer is that we will involve as a family. And I think we are already involved. And I hope that you will, each one of us involved, wherever you are, knowing the inheritance and willing to invest in the inheritance, kingdom investment, to go forward. May God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we invite your presence. Father, we just pray that that you will come right now. Father, I pray that many of us are in a different phase of our lives. I just pray that you will call each one of them. Father, I pray that if any one of us in this room has not met with you, have not had a relationship with you, I just pray that we will recommit our life. We will commit our life. And Jesus, I pray for the sinner's prayer that you will come right now and forgive our sins. Father, we pray for each one of us who are struggling here, feeling that there are things that hold us back. I pray that you will push us forward with the kingdom purposes. I pray that our excuses will be all gone. But knowing that you're going to change us. Father, we wanted to pray this prayer as a family together. I will follow you, no turning back. I will when the world come against of me, I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. I pray that prayer, let Lord give us the hope of the inheritance, the eternal hope, that your plan of making each one of us the cornerstone, the very important part in the kingdom. We want to thank you for that. We love you so much. We love your presence. In your name we pray. Amen.